Good morning. I think it's still morning. So I have to do a little bit of arrangements here. So, okay. Can you guys see here? That's good. Perfect. Okay. So my name is Julian Timofti. I'm from Romania. So if you wonder why I have an accent, it's not an Alabama accent, okay? That's what someone told me. I was at the gym, and we were just talking, and he said, "Oh, is that an Alabama accent? I have no idea. I'm from Romania." Yeah. Anyway, so good to be here again. You know, I thank you during this time of the year, expecting, you know, people coming from different places. So many of you know where Romania is, but how about, do you know where Azerbaijan is? Who knows where Azerbaijan is? In this world somewhere, okay? Yeah. It's near Turkey. This is my wife here, Natella Timofte. Okay, can you stand up, please? Yeah. You know, she's very shy, but she's amazing, amazing wife. I am here because of her also, you know, because of God, of course, but God gave me such a great gift. She's been following me everywhere in the world. So my proposal to her was, I will not give you anything. I'm not promising you anything. But I'm taking you from country to country, from city to city, and everywhere we'll go, God will take care of us. So here we are, 22 years of marriage. So we've been to many countries, lived in 10 countries, visited together maybe 50 countries, and God has been so faithful to us. So I'm really thankful to God and to my wife for that part of the ministry. So, Father's Day, this is amazing, amazing that we can celebrate first our Heavenly Father, right? And our fathers and our spiritual fathers. I think every one of us have someone who led him to Christ, someone who invested in him. And I have like that. I have men of God who invested in my life, and I'm very thankful for that, for their life. And you can be a father to someone. Even if you don't have children, you can be a father by discipling someone, by praying for someone, by taking care of someone in your life. I think that's what God is calling us. He's calling us to discipleship. He's calling us to minister to others, to be fathers. So thank you, really, for all the fathers here. Thank you so much. God bless you. So I'll read the verse, and then we'll pray, and then I will have the illustration in the beginning, okay? And then you'll need to remember that, okay? The whole message, because the whole message will be about that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are faithful, gracious, loving God. We thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you that you are the one who loves us, who cares for us. Thank you that nothing and no one can separate us from your love. Just bless this time together. Bless this message. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in Isaiah chapter 20, Mark, would you please come? So in Isaiah chapter 20, 28, verse 20, there is a very interesting verse, okay? says, for the bed is too short to stretch out on, and the covering so narrow that no one can wrap himself in it. So Mark have a very interesting you know, mission here, okay? So he is out camping, okay? And you know, it's cold outside. Let's say about 30, not Celsius, okay? So this is his bed, okay? Are you okay? Yeah, okay.
It's like it's too short.
So their bed, you know, is too short and the cover is too narrow, okay? So now he's cold here, okay? So like he's trying to just, you know, imagine if his wife will be here. Do you think they will fight for the bed and for the for the cover? But this is a very good illustration. And in that chapter, God is speaking about the people of Israel, that actually they cannot rest, and they are not protected, and there is no provision for them because they choose their own bed and their own covering. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Okay. So what I want to speak today about, it's about covering. And not about the head covering, but as we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 3, where it says that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So we have God, and he is the head. He is the covering of everything. And then we have Christ, Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 22 to 29, is speaking about marriage, about wives. Submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And then he's speaking about the husband is the head of the wife. Also, Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the covering. He is the leader. He is the one who gave his blood. He died for the church. And he was sent into this world by God the Father. And I'm thinking the covering in the Trinity, in between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's love that never changes. They always love each other. And God wanted us to be in that covering. God wanted us that we will be hidden with Christ in God. And that's what's happening in the moment someone accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. When someone believes that Jesus died in his place on the cross and paid for his sins, that's what's happening. That person is translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's light. Love of God's love, I think it says there. Anyway, so the important part in our life is that moment when we are taken from darkness into God's kingdom, into the light. When God is taking us from a place where the bed is too short and the cover is too narrow, he's taking us to a large place. He's taking us to the place of provision, of protection, the place we are encouraged. And the church is a good example of that, because the church is made by sinners saved by grace, people who are once in the darkness, people who were once enemies of God, and now they were brought close and they are in the presence of God. And they are the work of God's grace and mercy. Now, we are here in the church, and not only this church. This is a local church, but there are many churches, many local churches around the world, the universal church, and Christ is the head of this church. And there is a protection, and there is a provision for everyone. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Sometimes we have this idea that I come to church and I need to do something for God. That I have my education, I have my abilities, I have my gifts, I have my strength, and I am important in the church. And God wants to use me, but actually I am brought into the church to be ministered unto. Christ is here to wash our feet. He is here to provide for us, to protect us, to encourage us. He wants to bring us into his family. And this time it's a preparation for us. Either we are here for 1 year, for 20 years, for 30, for 50 years. This is a time of preparation for us for heaven. And God is teaching us how to stay under the covering of his love. God is teaching us to be under his grace, that I don't deserve anything. And God gives us grace. So when you think about false coverings, how many false coverings are in this world? The people of this world are blinded. Ephesians chapter 2, if you read it from verse 1 to 10, you see that we all separated at some point from God. Under these false coverings, how many people live in this world and they think they're okay? I was like that. We are all like that at some point in our life. When we had a covering, but at some point, you know, this covering was not enough. There was no rest. There was no satisfaction. I felt like something is missing. And we're thinking, why? Maybe it's because of the government. Maybe because of my neighbor. Maybe because of my family. Maybe because of my past or what I did or what I didn't do. And we try to fix it, but it's too short and it's too narrow. And it's everything started, you know, with Lucifer. And it's interesting that we, in order for us to understand the principle of covering, we need to realize any area in our life where we reject God's help, God's provision, God's given promise, God's presence and manifestation, it's actually the place where we live our lives uncovered. God is the head of everything. He is the cover of everything. So if I don't accept his help, provision, promises, presence, and manifestation, I'm out of the covering. My bed is too short. My cover is too narrow. And I will lack. There will be a lack in our lives. We lack everything. There is nothing. My work, you know, my friends, my family, it will not be enough. Because we miss the most important person, which is God, the maker of the universe. And he is coming into this world to look for us. So we are frail, we are weak, and also we are surrounded by sin and evil. And that's why it's important for us to be covered. When God created heaven and earth, when God created the angels, when God created man, he provided for them. covering, protection, provision. And it's beautiful that, you know, all the creation, when we think about angels and human beings, God gave them free will. And we know that the first who was to fail was Lucifer. Before his fall, his name was Light Reflector. He was reflecting the light of God, the life of God to the angels. He was the protector of God's holiness. He was close to God, to his throne, and he was communicating everything what God was saying to the creation. We see that in Ezekiel chapter 28 and also in Isaiah chapter 14. But after the fall, he became the light bringer and knowledge informer. He brought his own light. He brought his own information, his own understanding of God's plan and God's will. He went against God. And then he says the third part of the angel fall with him. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus was speaking to the disciples and said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." He wanted to put himself above God's throne. He wanted to be like the Most High, but he fell. He couldn't win against God because he is just a creation. And it's interesting. We know when we read the book of Revelation that there will be a time when there will be the final judgment and he will be thrown into the hell of fire together with the false prophet and Antichrist and many people who didn't believe in him. But he has time, little time. And he is here in the atmosphere, in the earth, together with his armies. And they are against God and against God's people. And their work is to blind the people of this world, people who don't know God. And they want that the people of God do not stay under the covering of God. They went out of the covering and they became the enemy. And they want to prove that God is not right and God, you know, is not good and God is not love. We have an enemy. And that's why we need God's covering. That's why we need the provision God has prepared for every one of us. When we think about Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, it said, "Then their eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden." In the moment they believed the lie, they went out of the covering. And they experienced fear. They experienced shame. And they hid themselves. And there is the curse. There is the curse which came because of their fall. And we experience that into this world. Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that the whole creation is groaning and waiting for the redemption of man, of mankind. They went out from the covering. When you think about Cain and Abel, Cain was the first fruit of fall, of falling, of human being falling. He was born, and then his brother, Abel. And God gave them a provision. The provision was the shedding of blood, to shed the blood of an animal, to come before God. But he came before God with his vegetables, the fruits of his garden. And it's not like God doesn't like vegetables, you know. It's not like God didn't like that he was a hard worker, but there is something in his heart was not dealt with. Because God is speaking to Cain, and he tells him in Genesis chapter 4, in verse 6, "So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen?' In verse 7, 'If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.'" Abel was not better than Cain, but he brought a sacrifice. "Lord, I cannot deal with my sin. I cannot deal with my sin nature. I cannot stand against temptation. But you said to my parents about the sacrifice." So he brought a lamb which symbolized Christ coming to die for the sins of the whole world. But Cain, he came by his own goodness, by his own strength, probably very religious. "Maybe I can hide behind my good works." But God sees the heart, and God didn't accept his sacrifice. So then he went and killed his brother. He went out from the covering. There is only one way. The blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. That's why Jesus came. That's why we go and preach the gospel. That's why we go and speak about the cross. That's why we meet together and we tell people we are a result of God's grace and mercy. We are a result of Jesus dying, being buried, and raising on the third day. We are under the covering of God. Noah's ark was a covering for the 8 people who came and they escaped the flood. The promises of God are a covering for us. When we go and we have trouble, when I don't know who I am, I don't know what will be tomorrow, I take God's promises because they are yes and amen. Marriage, it's a covering for the husband and wife. Marriage and family, a covering for children. A place where people will experience the love of the family and the love of God. The place where children will grow and they will be brought unto the Lord to grow and to know God in a personal way. Think about the prodigal son. He went to his father. I mean, such a courage he had. He understood his father's nature. He went to him and said, "Father, give what is mine." His father was not even dead. And he said, "Just give it to me." And his father gave it to him. And he took that what was his. And he left into the far country. He went from under the covering. And then the father was speaking to the elder son. And he said, "My son was lost, was dead, but he came back. He is alive." That's what's happening. When we are going from under the covering of God, we are in danger. There is only one covering for the people of God. I mean, there are many I want to speak about today, but the cross, the death of Jesus Christ, his burial and his resurrection, the cross, that's our covering. In Old Testament, the blood of the lambs and the animals were covering the sins. But you know what is interesting? the people have to bring the same sacrifice every year. For I think 1500 years they brought the sacrifices. And before that, we know the patriarchs and people, many people brought sacrifices. But when Jesus came with one sacrifice, he dealt with all the sins, past, present, and future. It's so beautiful to talk about this, that when Christ died, he is the Son of God. He is God. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. But he is the one who was dead and he is alive. With one sacrifice, he dealt with all the sins. I come under his covering, under his protection. When the enemy comes and remind me about my past, when my heart condemns me, I go to the cross and I show to the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what paid for me. That's what God accepted. That's what God gave us through him, through Jesus Christ. So he covers us the same way. In Genesis 3:21, it says, "Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord made coats of skins and clothed them." He gave us the righteousness of Christ. He clothed us. He took away our sins and gave us his righteousness. So I have just a few of them, okay? Only seven. Okay? Oh, very quickly we'll go through this. If you need the notes, I can give you the notes. I have them electronically, but I think it's so important for us to understand God's covering, true coverings. Not a short, bad, and narrow cover. But, you know, if you... Now I will just say thank you for Mike and Cindy and Aaron. They have a very good bed in basement, you know. Big one, you know. It's like, it takes an effort to find my wife, you know. It's big one. I don't know. It's a king size anyway, so you can ask them. I'm sure that they will let you stay there for a night or two. But the first thing what God covers me with is his grace. That God gives us mercy means that he doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't send us to hell. And then after we receive mercy, forgiveness for our sins, he gives us grace. Means that he gave us what we don't deserve. In John 17:17, it says he sanctifies us by his word. And he cleanses us by the washing of water by the word. In Ephesians 5:26. That's mercy and that's grace. That I don't have to remember things I have done, and to feel guilty, and to feel naked, and to feel bad. But he forgives me. And not only that, he gives me a new name, and he gives me good memories, and, you know, he sanctifies me, and I know that I'm clean, and I'm perfected in God's plan. Then, the second one, I have God's love toward me. In 1 Peter 4:8, it says, "Love covers a multitude of sins." How many times I can forgive my brother? 7 times or 70 times 70. Love covers a multitude of sins. Then love casts out fear. There is no fear in my heart. So the second one, it's love. The third covering is the righteousness of Christ. You know, that took me some time to understand and to accept that I am as righteous as the Son of God, Jesus Christ. If that will not be, I will not have the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit came because we have the righteousness of Christ, because our sins have been forgiven, and God has given us His Spirit. And we are sealed with the Spirit of God because we have the righteousness of Christ. It's ours forever. Then the fourth one is total forgiveness. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither your Father forgive your trespasses. I mean, imagine that. I'm coming to church, and my brothers are worshiping, and I raise my hands and to worship, but I have something against my brother. Do I experience forgiveness? If I have something against someone, I'm forgiven, but I don't experience that because there is something in my heart. I didn't forgive someone. Maybe I have something against someone. The same how our Father forgave us, we are called to forgive, because God the Father sent His Son to die for my brother's sins. Everything what he did against me, I can forgive. Based on the cross. And I can raise my hand and worship freely. Because I know that I am forgiven totally. Maybe my brother is continuing to hurt me. Maybe he's not right with God. But I am called to forgive. Maybe I don't have fellowship with my brother. But I'm called to forgive, because I cannot let anyone control me. If I don't forgive my brother, whatever he does, or sister, you know, controls me through that. God wants us to be free. The fifth covering is the government of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit reside in us. We have an opportunity to rebound. We have an opportunity when we sin to confess our sins, and God forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the sixth covering, I have my church and the pastor teacher. Our pastors are not to rule over us, but to encourage us, to teach us, to bring the message, to lead us by example, and to love us with the love of God. Pray for us. And of course, we are called to love them and to pray for them. But the church and the pastor, teacher, the leadership are a covering for us. It's important. Then the seventh one, we are hidden into the body of Christ. I can come and God will minister to me. I can come and maybe I have something, you know, I bring something to the body of Christ. But maybe many times I come and I just need to receive. I am hidden. And the Spirit will minister and will encourage me and will build me up. That's why it's important to have a church, a local church. I mean, I love the YouTube church, you know. I like it. I mean, I like to watch messages and to listen to classes. But this is not the YouTube church. This is the real church. I come and I sit and I listen and I'm encouraged. I shake someone's hand. You know, maybe we eat together. Maybe we step with someone's foot, but, you know, with love. Let's do it with love, right? Because it's a covering for us. It's a place where God is ministering to us through the Holy Spirit. And then the last one, a covering for us, it's the gospel message. We are called to bring this message to people, because that's the power of God, that's the wisdom of God, to save those who believe. But people first need to hear. And you know, I need to hear the gospel message. When I speak to people, and the Holy Spirit speaks through me, and I, you know, verses coming, and different verses, and many times, and God might give a personal message to someone through me on the street, and I am surprised, and I am amazed, and they say, that's true. I needed to hear that. Yes, I'm preparing, I'm reading my Bible, I have my devotional, but when I go out and I meet people I never met, or maybe I meet with someone on plan, I pray for the person, and then I go and God gives a personal message and is encouraging me. I need that. As Christians, we need to speak, to proclaim the gospel message. It's a covering for us. It's a protection for us. We are not called to fix people's life or to tell them to behave or what to do, how to do, but we are called to preach the gospel. And we are called to disciple people. Discipleship, it's a covering. I need a Paul. Someone, I need Paul in my life, Apostle Paul, right? I need someone to invest in me, to mentor me, to encourage me. One of my friends says, don't say invest because people in America don't know what is that. Okay? Use the word mentor. Someone to mentor me, then I mentor someone. And that person will mentor someone else. That's how we cover one another. The husband and the wife, they mentor each other. They pray for each other. Prayer, it's a covering for us. When we bring our worry, our trouble to God, to the throne of grace, and we cast on Him our troubles, our worries, God covers us. I can choose to live in this place, to have my own covering. You know, for some people, worrying, it's a covering. They cannot live without worrying. Some people they all their life were discouraged. I'm not looking at anyone, okay? But think about this. To be under God's covering, to be under His protection, under His provision. The prodigal son came home and he is like, you know what? Father, I have my own bed. I have my own cover. Let me be your servant. And the father said, no. Go and take that big bed from Mike and Cindy. You know, let you have a good place. I want you to be my son, not my servant. I want to serve you. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. My son was dead, but he is alive. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are faithful, gracious, loving God. Lord, we don't want to live by ourselves. We don't want to live under our own covering. But we want to be with you, Lord. We pray by the Holy Spirit, you'll lead us and help us. You'll encourage us, Lord, in every day to walk with you and to follow you. Teach us, Lord, about the true covering. Teach us about the cross. teach us about prayer. Teach us about love. Teach us, Lord, about grace and mercy, about the church, Lord. Teach us about your word, Lord. Sanctify us. Help us, Lord. We pray that you'll bless this church, Lord, and minister to this church to be a covering for many, to be a place for people to come to find joy, to find your love, to find your grace, to find the cross. And Lord, we pray that this city and the area here really will just be flooded with the gospel message, that many will hear and many will come to know you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.